asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today, we're discussing concerts on credit, evaporating assets, and can you afford me now?
Can you hear me now? I don't know if folks got that, but we definitely are going to be talking about cell phones
later on
during this episode. But yeah, man, this is our Friday flight, and we're going to cover a bunch of different stories that we came across this week and how they're going to impact your money. But real quick, man, let's let folks know that we finally have gotten our How to Money socks here in the office. Actually,
they look so good.
We
feel so good.
Oh, they're awesome. I was going to say that we just got them in, but we've actually had them for a few weeks. But
we've been moving. So
yeah, we've moved. They've been in the box, but now they are ready for prime time. They look so good. And podcasting is not a great medium to share how something looks. And so we'll make sure to post a picture of them over on Instagram. Go give us a follow at How to Money Pod.
Maybe in our newsletter too, we'll share a pic.
Exactly. And by the way, we've already got the socks in the mail to all of the folks who we chose, who gave us money tips. We celebrated that. That was episode 500.
A long time ago.
It was a while ago. And I'm ashamed. Like, we were really hoping to have those socks done by then.
The design just took forever.
Well, the process.
We wanted to get it right.
Going back and forth. Yeah. And that is exactly it. We wanted to make sure that there were socks that we would be proud of wearing. And
we got a sample of some crummy ones. And we should put a picture of the crummy ones next to the good ones.
Dude, the crummy ones are terrible.
They
suck.
They don't even deserve to wipe your dirty table down. You know, they were that bad.
They're comical. They're so funny, and we still have them around because it just makes us feel so much better about the ones that we did go back and forth on to make sure that we got the
design
right.
And the ones that we chose cost more money, but sometimes you got to pay more money to get a good product.
That's true.
Not always, but most of the time.
But yeah, we'll make sure to share that with folks. And you know, stay tuned because we're going to find other creative ways to make sure that How to Money listeners out there can get their hands on a pair of How to Money socks.
Yep.
But they look so good. I'm really excited.
Yeah, and I just want to say one more thing on the front. A lot of listeners, they want us to create like a How to Money store so we can sell cool How to Money tulip glasses.
That's like you and I use here in the studio.
Right, your cousin made, right?
Yeah, she had them custom made. She took our logo and they etched it on these tulip glasses.
So,
but the problem is,
We want to avoid shipping things out on a weekly basis to people who buy stuff, right? So we want to find somebody who can create on demand and drop ship. We have not been able to find that, especially for someone who creates beer glasses.
Yeah.
So if you're a listener out there and you know of somebody, you know of a business that does this and does it well, we'd love to hear from you because We don't mind selling some cool How to Money merch, and we don't even care if we make money. We just want you to be able to buy something that you enjoy and you think is cool.
Exactly.
That represents your affinity for a nerdy podcast. But so yeah, if you know of a company that does this well, please reach out to us, howtomoneypod@gmail.com. And yeah, we'd love to hear your suggestions, because yeah, we think our little mugs are cool. We think our new socks are cool. Can't wait to get them in the hands of folks. And those are just going to be, you know, free with different giveaways that we do over the coming months. But
to the How to Money elect, yeah. those who are chosen,
the rare, the few, right? But we would love to create some more stuff that people can buy if they wanted to.
Exactly.
Just haven't found the right way to do it.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I finally been to Costco here in Atlanta. Like,
and
I've shared before, how
was it?
It was good. I took Westy with me, and we definitely took our time. We perused the items. We got our free samples, which was a lot of fun. Weston definitely enjoyed that. But so as I was walking through there, what I realized, though, is that I don't have any bearing. I don't have a history of knowing what's good to buy there. Like, when we go to Aldi, we know, okay, this is good. You avoid this. You get this and this. Do you have a few items that are just amazing, that are kind of like top quality, that are either Kirkland Sig or...
Well, that's a tough question. This could take up a whole podcast episode, Matt. We might not get to...
Top three.
Okay.
What are your top three? Ooh. Like, you got to get these three things.
Okay. Well, the Costco hot dog, you know that. I will say, news this week, the CEO of Costco was asked, is the price of the hot dog going up?
Oh, yeah.
He gave a one-word answer. No.
It's an inflation hedge.
Which I appreciate. It is. Still the cheapest lunch in town.
You've got that on your side. Okay. So I'm going to skip that.
Okay, let's say if you have a kid, if you have a baby, mm-hmm. the Costco infant formula is great, and it's pretty inexpensive. Neither of us, we're out of that stage, but the Costco...
Worth
like,
checking out, especially given all the formula shortages that we've experienced over the past few months.
The interesting thing, some things at Costco are cheaper, especially things that are on clearance. Like last time I went, a 26-pack of Clif Bars was on clearance for $10.
Kate bought those.
Okay, $10, man. That's like the cheapest
I've
ever seen.
And we legit use those. Like, we'll pack a bunch of them, you know, in the pack when we go for a hike.
So look for things that end in 97 cents. You'll know that's on clearance. And if it's something that you're going to use, sometimes you can get like a killer deal. They're jelly? I don't know why, man. Their Kirkland Signature jelly is...
You're a big fan of that?
I've heard off the chain.
Yeah. You'll bring a jar of that to the beach or something, you know, and it's got like the real strawberries and stuff in there.
It puts to shame almost everything else. Like, that comes prepackaged at Aldi or wherever that calls itself jelly.
Okay.
Like, it's... They're not even on the same
plane.
Well,
it's like they're preserves. It's not just jelly. There's actual fruit.
Right.
Made with real fruit.
Yeah.
All right. Hot dogs, formula, jelly.
Those are a few things. Tires are another good thing. When tires are on sale,
that's
a good place to get tires, especially because you can get the rotation and balance.
And you get that done for free anytime you want.
That's right, yeah.
How often do the tires go on sale? Like once a year?
Much more than that. So
I'll keep that in mind, because up until now, I've always gone to the local garage in our old neighborhood, and they also do the free rotation and balancing anytime you want. And oftentimes, they'll do a free patch repair, but good to know that I can count on
Costco. Will do free patch repairs too.
Ooh,
so yeah.
Okay.
Free plugs and patches.
Keep that in mind. Appreciate the tips.
Yeah,
man.
And we could keep going, and maybe we'll just do a warehouse club episode one of these days. Okay, well let's move on, Matt. Let's get to the Friday flight, the stories we found interesting this week, because there's a lot of stuff to cover, not just cheap hot dogs, but I just
gross.
Real quick follow up to Wednesday's episode, Matt. We talked about thriving during an economic downturn, and I was just noodling it yesterday after we released that episode, and I was like, man, one thing we didn't mention that actually was worth mentioning is house hacking. That is such a great way for folks to curb costs and create income. Let's say we do enter a recessionary environment. We might be hitting that point. Well, we also might not, but it's really the only way we know that you can live for free or close to free, where your housing costs can be significantly covered.
Yeah.
And so if that's something you're interested in learning more about, episode 445, we covered that with Craig Herlop. And he talked about a bunch of different ways you can get started. I think that's one of those things. That's one of those practical things that for a lot of people, when they're like, okay, but I need to make drastic changes. If you've lost your job, or if you really are, you're just more worried about a precarious financial position that you might be in, house hacking is something that a lot of folks can implement.
Yeah.
It's not always convenient or easy, but it can definitely be lucrative.
Well, yeah, it can move the needle in a big way, right? Like if you're trying to make some big changes to your finances, you're not going to get there by clipping coupons.
Right.
It's going to be, you know, tackling some of these bigger items like housing. And I wanted to also share house hacking. I think it's something that a lot of us have already done. We just haven't called it house hacking, but like, think back to when you're in college, you probably had a roommate like having a roommate is a way to house hack. And oftentimes we think that that's something that you can only, or that you should only do when you're a student or when you're younger or when you're in, you know, when you're in college. But I think if you are a single adult, having a roommate is an awesome way to not only make your life maybe a little more rewarding and enriching by introducing some social interaction, but it's a great way to save some money as well. And not even if you're single. I know multiple couples who have had roommates in their house after they were married. And I think you might think that that's not for you, but I think it could be not only a great way to save money, but you might even find out that it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so I think it's worth mentioning.
Don't shut it down out of hand, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, in news that we hate to see, we saw that the monthly savings rate, it's back to historic lows. Americans are now tapping their excess savings in large part to combat higher prices. There's actually still what economists refer to as excess savings hanging around. But that's actually, that's an interesting term.
It's a curious term, isn't
because,
it?
Because, you know, considering our nation's historically meager savings habits, some excess is actually in order. Like, we would encourage that. We think that that's a good thing.
Yeah. Who out there has excess savings? Like, contact me and send it my way. Like, I've never heard anybody talk about it like that. I know it's a kind of quirky economic term, but have you ever had a friend who's like, man, I got excess savings?
From an economic standpoint, it's beyond the amount that Americans typically hold in their accounts. But the monthly savings rate, though, it's back now in the not-so-great 5% range. This is according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. And, you know, we're not saying that it's easy to save money right now, but to be back near all-time lows when it comes to how much folks are able to set aside in their bank accounts is a little frightening. Folks are taking on more and more credit card debt to get by. Saving less than spending more, it's going to take you in the opposite direction of financial freedom. While everyone else is around you spending that quote-unquote excess savings, you might want to hold on to it. I guess it was maybe too much to ask of folks to maintain their frugal ways that we've all experienced over the past year. It's a bit Pollyannish. Because on the surface, it looked like our outlook, or at least our current conditions, had changed. But when you don't change the underlying habits, we're going to quickly just revert back to the norm.
I remember in the aftermath of the Great Recession, certain really smart people saying, these habits are going to stick. And I remember thinking, I just don't think that's going to happen. And it didn't. People started, after a little while where they started to handle money better because they were forced to, they quickly lost that knack. And so the habit didn't stick around. And so we hate to see that. We want to see people saving more of their money. We want to see people, 5% is terrible. Like, nobody should be saving 5% of their money. We think people should be saving and investing a minimum of 15% of what they bring in.
Yeah.
Like, we want to see that savings rate tick higher in your life, even if nationally on the average, it's going down. And on that note, Matt, a recent survey from LendingTree drives home our national inability to save well. 26% of individuals surveyed by LendingTree said that it's worth it to go into debt in order to go see a show, in order to go see a concert. And I'm sure you're not surprised.
Concerts on credit, baby.
Yeah, we think this is a really bad idea. You should be saving up for bigger purchases instead. Matt, it makes me think about your goal to go to the World Cup.
Was that a pun? My goal. Yeah,
your goal to go to the World Cup.
Actually, I don't know if we've talked about this since they announced it. So it was a few weeks ago that they announced the host cities for the World Cup here in North America. And of course, Atlanta is going to have at least one, maybe even more World Cup matches. But back in 2020, we talked about this because there were rumors. And I had looked at what the previous World Cup tickets were going for. Was it in Russia? I forget where it was. But it's thousands of dollars. Like, they are not cheap tickets.
We'll call it the country that cannot be named.
That's true. But basically, I started saving then. I started chipping away a small amount of money into a little savings bucket. And by the time that World Cup rolls around, man, it is not going to be difficult for me to plunk down the money. Again, it's going to cost a lot of money. But I actually checked recently. I've got a little under $2,000 in that account to be able to put towards that. I am not going to be going into debt in order to go to the World Cup.
Yeah, and most concerts don't get announced as far in advance as the World Cup. But still, like, tours get announced months and months ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so it gives you time.
Well enough time for you to, you know, set aside 50, 60 bucks
and
for
tickets
a nice show.
To the show you want to go to are probably not as expensive as World Cup tickets either. So you can hopefully save it more quickly.
Definitely not.
But just one more quick tip too on that front. Besides just saving up to make sure you're not going into debt to go to a fun show, buying at the box office often saves you huge money in fees, Matt. It makes me think...
Don't you love Ticketmaster? what's the other one?
The worst. What, Live Nation?
Live Nation, yeah.
Or maybe they're the same? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I hate them both.
Yes.
Or... if they're the same, I hate it. That entity.
I hate it two times.
But we went to see Nate Bargatze, comedian at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. Awesome show, by the way. Nate is super hilarious. And I drove over to the Fox to, I should have biked, to get those tickets at the box office because it saved us something like $56 in fees for four tickets.
Ridiculous.
It was well worth it. Those are the kind of things where, a lot of box offices, there's no charge if you buy it in person. Same thing with the music venue that was closest to where we used to live. It was like, great, if you go before the show, an hour ahead of time, before any show, right, you can pick up future tickets and you can avoid those fees. So that's something we suggest if you want to kind of lower the overall cost of that concert you're going to.
Good way to lower the cost of entertainment in your life. Man, let's talk about investing, because the stock market, it's still roughly 20% off all-time highs. And you know, we know that it's been gut-wrenching for a lot of folks, especially if you are nearing retirement or if you are already in retirement. But that being said, for everybody else, we don't think this is a bad thing. Like we've said, it's actually good for folks in the wealth building phase of their lives to experience some stock market downturns. We kind of talked about this on Wednesday. But when the market retreats, a lot of folks, they start to get antsy. You know, they feel like they have to do something, but we should probably adopt with the British mantra of keep calm and carry on. This is a
stiff upper lip.
A throwback to 2012. Yeah. why did that become such a big thing in our, just in the
zeitgeist? I don't even know.
Zeitgeist?
That's a good question.
I don't know either. I don't know what facilitated it, but keep calm, carry on with your investing. Doing something different isn't the answer. If you want to increase what you are already doing, you are already investing. If, say, you had a windfall, if you've got some extra savings on hand, it might be worth considering how you can make the most of an economic downturn, like we talked about again on Wednesday, and look to increase the amount you're investing. But you do not want to change your investing strategy in the midst of something like this.
Yes, exactly. It's like changing your fire escape plan in the middle of a fire. You're like, I don't know if this works anymore. You should probably go with what you know, what you've practiced, right?
Exactly.
And so another bad thing, Matt, that people are doing in a down market is they're looking at their 401k statement. They're checking their balance to see how things are going. And newsflash for basically everyone, it's not going well. But when it comes to peeking at your balance, you know, statistical evidence actually shows that long-term investors fare better when they opt not to look at their statements or to log into their accounts for like that up-to-minute information on how things are going. Basically, the more often you check, the more you're going to be confronted with the crummy reality of how things are going right now, and that takes a psychological toll. And so access to technology that allows us to invest really simply, we think that's great. But the flip side is that it's easier than ever to, I don't know, become kind of a helicopter parent for your for your Fidelity app or your Robinhood app or your M1 app, wherever you're going in to check your investments. And so that can impact your future returns because it's going to make you more likely to make a bad choice. And that's why we recommend having a written investment plan, right? Because if you put pen to paper, there's a greater chance that you're going to stick with the methodology that you have set out for yourself. And so putting on the proverbial blindfold for your investments for the time being is probably going to help you sleep better, and it's going to make you a better investor. It's going to make you just less anxious overall.
You said helicopter parenting. Maybe you should adopt more of a free-range parenting approach to your investments.
Exactly.
It's not that you are putting the blindfold on and you completely don't care about them anymore. You're just going to give them a little bit of room to make some mistakes.
A longer leash.
There's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some scrapes and bruises. In the same way that there are going to be some downturns in the market. Like you might even have an ER visit in your future. But that's just all a part of being a parent. And in the same way, there is volatility that we experience with our investments. And so just understand that that is a part of living life. But I agree. Like it does suck to lose money. But keep in mind, if you don't sell, you haven't lost anything yet. And also recognize that what you're putting in is far more important than the current performance that you are experiencing, because you're buying while the stocks are on sale. And so that's something else we've got to keep in mind. We are still in a market that is down significantly. And just because we have been here for a while, I don't want that to be something that we get used to. It's still a great opportunity for folks to invest. Because if you are a long-term investor in the wealth-building phase of your life, these current stock market gyrations shouldn't have no impact on your behavior. And you know, while we're talking about focusing on the things that you have control over, we should note that fees are something that you should be far more concerned about rather than the volatility of the market. Pew Research, they just wrote a long form article about how these smaller fees, how they can cost investors billions of dollars. A 1% fee might seem like a small thing, but it could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars over time. So let's translate that into what that looks like in your actual life. This means that you might have to end up working 5 years longer than you have planned.
And delaying retirement. Maybe you're like, I want to retire at 65. And it's like, well, I can't retire until 70. And the extra fees that you paid, if you had just changed that out earlier on in your investing career, it wouldn't have come to that.
So instead of focusing on near-term results, we would rather you focus on the fundamentals, which are how much you're contributing to your retirement accounts, and then how you can get those fees down. And actually, speaking of fees, the next story that we're going to get to right after the break has to do with more fees in our life. We will get to our ludicrous headline of the week right after this break.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Kachava.com/howtomoney.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So it's safe to say it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another. So you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
All right, let's keep this Friday flight rolling, Matt. We got some more interesting stories to get to, including one after this next story. Let's talk about something that affects almost no one. and they're like, yeah, I want to stick around for that. That's kind of, it's interesting still. But let's get to our ludicrous headline of the week before we do that. And this one is from the Wall Street Journal, and it reads, AT&T and Verizon raise prices and test consumer budgets. Here's the thing. If you're on one of those, I know, older AT&T plans or Verizon plans, they just raised rates by $6 or $12 a month, depending on whether you're a solo customer or you're on a family plan. And so what I think AT&T did it first, and then Verizon said, ooh, me too. Let me do it. And so they basically matched the same increase that AT&T instituted. And so these two companies, they're not just content to do that. They're upping the tiny little fees that are also associated with almost every cell phone bill out there. They're adding less than a dollar per line. But still, that adds up. Let's say you are on a family plan, five or six people. Not only are you getting that $6 to $12 a month increase, but then that almost a dollar per line increase on top of it, which adds up. So yeah,
$15-$20 a month. That's
not nothing.
It's
significant, right?
Yes.
And not to mention, they're just the two most expensive players in the beginning to start with. And so if you're still doing business with one of these companies, check your bill again. Take a look and see if you have had a price increase recently implemented. And if you have, and even if you haven't, it's smart to migrate to a company that actually wants to compete for your business. Now it's even more necessary than ever. So our advice to you, if you're an AT&T or a Verizon customer, is to start shopping ASAP.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, like in my mind, I don't understand how these companies can do something like this. Like, because again, they are already more expensive than some of the other customers. I feel like this would be like the final straw, like the last straw that would break the camel's back, that
would
get
think.
People to abandon ship.
They
basically.
Still have tens of millions of customers each, a lot of corporate clients. Those are the people taking a lot of this and not batting an eye, but individual consumers should be leaving in droves.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that's because everyone else within the cell phone space has been lowering prices often while adding additional benefits, right? Like more data, even on the lower tier plans, but not AT&T, not Verizon, not these gargantuan old school players. And so if you are with Verizon or AT&T, there's like a 99% chance that you should be moving on. But where should you go if you're just now realizing that you could save $50-$75 a month? Mint Mobile, Google Fi, Invisible. They are the top three out there, in our opinion. We've actually got an article breaking down the pros and the cons of these different plans up on the website at howtomoney.com. We'll make sure to link to that story.
Yeah, save a ton of money. Go to a company that has better service, better prices, and fewer fees. And all right, Matt, let's get to that story that affects probably very few How to Money listeners. The price of a postage stamp now costs 2 cents more.
People send mail
some
still?
Some people do. Yeah, some people do.
Not much, but I mean, literally.
There are some stamps on your desk, literally.
Literally, I stuck a forever stamp on an envelope today to pay our quarterly corporate taxes.
Okay, there you go. So occasionally people do, even millennials
IRS
and Gen Z have to
requires
use.
Requires you to send in an actual mail.
Yes. Yeah. Well, my guess is that most of our listeners aren't sending too much mail, but if they do, it's going to cost them just a bit more. And fortunately, you just mentioned forever stamps. If you have forever stamps on hand, those will still work.
That's the way to do it, man.
Yeah, but as you're seeing these like
Costco hot dogs and forever stamps,
yes.
The best hedges against inflation.
That's right. But some folks might be like, oh man, I need to go stock up on some of those forever stamps before those prices increase even more. Well, now that's probably unnecessary unless you're like a big user of stamps, right?
Oh, I mean, if you're going to buy a booklet or whatever, you buy them in like the sheets, whatever, it wouldn't hurt to buy a few extra because, I mean, the prices are only going to be going up.
Sure.
So if you know that you are going to be mailing, you know, sending mail in the next several years, I don't think it would hurt. You don't need to go out of your way to do it. It's like you're not saving that much money.
Put like $500 in stamps or anything like that.
No.
Or maybe an extra $10.
Yeah.
Well, it's interestingly enough, Matt, I think the pricing model for USPS is kind of broken, and the Postmaster General has talked about how that's the case. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see some stiff price hikes And I think that actually that would be a good thing, right? So that the USPS can kind of continue that mission.
So they can become solvent.
Can become solvent. Yes, that would be, I think that would be a good thing. I would love to see stamps cost a dollar or more, honestly.
Sure. And that might even stem the tide of the junk mail that we receive in our mailboxes. I know marketers, they get that discounted rate when you're sending bulk mail or whatever. But still, think about the, when I come home from work, I check the mail, and 3 out of 4 pieces of mail go straight into the trash.
Yeah.
It's just such a waste of paper. And I think that maybe if they increase the rates of what it costs to mail stuff, that might cause those marketers to send it maybe via email, which I would be happier to click on subscribe there than just to throw something in the trash.
Yeah. I mean, I think when things are subsidized, we're going to see more of them. And the U.S. mail system has largely been subsidized. And if we paid the actual freight, with the price of stamps, the price of sending goods across the country to our relatives for Christmas or whatever it is, then you're right. Companies and individuals will start to kind of shift their habits.
That's right. Let's talk about crypto, because a How to Money listener reached out to us and was actually asking us about this, because it sounded like he might, unfortunately, have some of his money on this platform. But, I mean, we've talked about this before. Just generally speaking, the crypto space has kind of been a nightmare this year. And digital asset firm Voyager, they filed for bankruptcy recently. The FDIC, they are looking into some of its marketing practices, because basically folks were led to believe that the money they parked with Voyager was actually insured by the FDIC. But it turns out that it's a bit unclear as the dust is settling. There's a chance that any cash deposited with Voyager might not be returned to customers, but everyone should be getting their US dollar deposits back after a fraud prevention process with its partnership bank. But the fact is, there is no guarantee that any crypto that users held via the Voyager platform will be returned back to them, because crypto isn't an insured, it's not a regulated asset like stocks and ETFs. We wanted to share the story because we feel like there's a couple lessons here. Firstly, crypto coins and crypto apps, they are still the freaking Wild West. Be careful. The money that you invest there, not only is it subject to the crazy volatility that you see within the crypto space, but entire platforms could potentially fold and you have no recompense. There's no guarantee that you have the ability to get any of that money back that was invested.
Yeah, Voyager isn't the first and they won't be the last, is my guess.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're saying if they get bought out, basically like within this bankruptcy process, as they restructure, and if somebody comes in and decides to kind of scoop up all of their customers, all of the clients, that they'll get a bunch of Voyager coins, which is basically a total slap in the face.
And then you can give those to all your relatives for Christmas.
I mean, what would you actually do with those? They're completely worthless.
That's like the same as Chuck E. Cheese tokens or something like that. Although those are probably even more valuable.
Because there's nostalgia associated with it. Whereas there are no good feelings associated with the Voyager platform. But then secondly, when it comes to where you're parking some cash, FDIC insurance is really important. Keep an eye out for that, because we want you to do business directly with a bank that has it, not a neo bank that works with another bank that they are partnering with. So actual banks that we like are Discover, banks like Ally or CIT, the Marcus account. We would much rather see your money, your cash parked there. Not only is it going to be a little safer, but you're also going to be less tempted to perhaps speculate that money, because it's already sitting there in a crypto investing platform and you think, well, or I could take that money and throw it in some brand new coin and then you end up losing it all. And so we would much rather you invest that in a more traditional bank, but not too traditional.
Yeah.
Right. We're kind of going the Goldilocks approach here. You want it to be just right. You don't want the old brick and mortar, but you also don't want a neobank. You want somebody like CIT.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, Matt, it's been kind of fun to see rates rising on savings accounts consistently.
Oh, speaking of
over
CIT,
the past couple of months, and CIT just announced 1.65%.
Oh my gosh.
And I think
they're killing it.
That's 0.5% above Ally, which is another one of the best online banks. So we'll link to that in the show notes. But still, yeah, if you're looking for a place to park savings, it's still not keeping up with inflation or anywhere close to it, but it's better than what the big banks are offering.
Absolutely.
By a long shot. All right, let's talk about something else that inflation is having an impact on, and that is the cost of cars. And we just got the new headline number for inflation. It's more than 9% year over year, which is disconcerting. But rising costs combined with a chip shortage meant that both new and used cars got filthy expensive, really, over the past, 18 months. And so there's new data out from Edmunds, and they said that the average cost of a new car is now more than $47,000. And the new average monthly payment has crossed the $700 a month threshold, which I don't even understand, honestly, that kind of... Yeah, I don't even know how people do that or why people do that.
That's mind-boggling.
When you look at so many of the other personal finance numbers, you look at the savings rate or something like that, which is hovering near 5%. And then you see that, well, no wonder it's getting soaked up by massive car payments from so many people. Higher interest rates, they're not helping out with that monthly payment either. Almost 13% of buyers, Matt, ended up signing on the dotted line, agreeing to a monthly payment that exceeds $1,000 for their vehicle.
That's insane.
We talked about how gas prices are impacting all of us, but even with the outsized impact of higher prices on that front, Americans are just punching themselves in the gut by signing up for car payments that are close to the size of a mortgage. Like, so here's what we would say. One, new cars, most of the time, not a great idea for most folks. Keeping the cost of transportation low in your life, not doing what everyone else is doing on this front, is just going to have a significant impact on your ability to save and to invest and to build wealth. We want you to aim for a household car payment of zero. Yes, zero, when everyone else is getting into four-digit car payments. And that's the average loan, Matt. Some families might have $1,500, $1,800 a month in car notes that they're paying.
That's insane.
That, of course, is going to massively affect your ability to reach financial independence. And it would seem like if the smallest thing goes wrong in your financial life, that you're poised in a precarious position having those loans, you know, in your life.
Yeah, and the way that you are able to have a car payment at $0 a month is by paying cash, and that is totally possible.
Which might mean you have to drive an older, less sexy car.
Absolutely. I know it's harder than it was four or five years ago to buy a solid vehicle, you know, around $5,000. But I guarantee, actually, we would love to hear from listeners who have purchased a car in the past 2 or 3 years, because I know it is possible, and I would love to hear some of the different deals that folks have gotten. Under $10,000, I would love to know how much you paid, what you're driving, and how you feel about it, too, because I know that puts you just in a much stronger position than if you did have a ridiculous car payment that you're making every single month.
Let's get a thread going in the Facebook group, because I'd love to hear people's stories of the inexpensive cars they've got. That we just had someone post actually in there recently, hey, I just hit 100,000 miles on the odometer, and then other people start posting. Some people are 240, you know, and I think I just passed 170 or something like that.
Nice.
And so my goal is to hit 200 with this van, if not a whole lot more.
And let's go ahead and get to our last story now. It turns out that most folks dread budgeting. This is according to a study by Fidelity. 57% of folks, to be exact, dread budgeting. And 1 in 3 people surveyed would rather clean their bathroom than budget. I don't understand these people at all, because I can think of no better way than spending 15 minutes a week than sitting down and figuring out where you have spent your money. I can see no better return.
You're also the weirdo that loves cleaning your toilet too, so.
I don't, actually. I appreciate a clean toilet, but I don't.
I don't mind cleaning the toilet. I hate cleaning the bathtub. Like, those are the worst in my mind.
Well, you're kind of like a taller guy, and so I can see you getting down there and you're like, these corners are too tight.
Yeah.
But seriously, like, what better way than to proactively decide and dictate where your dollars are going to go? I personally think that, forget your toilet, forget the bathtub. Instead, spend that time in Excel, Numbers, Mint, Google Sheets, whatever your software or platform of choice is going to be. But for all of the folks who actually find themselves among that number of folks who dread it, we actually want to talk with our friend Jordan Grummets about this. He talks about non-budgeting in his book. We're going to talk with him on Monday's episode. That's actually just one of the many topics that we'll cover. So we hope to see you back here then. We're also going to talk a decent bit about death. So brace yourselves.
Jordan was a hospice doctor, and he wrote a book about kind of living life to the fullest in light of the eventual reality. And so it's a great book, and I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Absolutely.
Matt. So, all right. Well, we hope you have a great weekend. Clean your bathroom, do your budget, and
wash your teeth.
Right. And we'll see you back here on Monday. So, Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.